All twerked up on that drink. It must be Houston. It must be time for the Texas Bowl. Joining me is Holly. Holly, you know, we could get down, or we could get down in the blue lot, girl.
Blue lot 18 for the Bud Light Text Fest.
Which we don't really know what the.
Let's do this entire podcast like we're on a morning zoo crew.
Text Fest. There was a. When I was in Nashville, by the way, for Christmas. There was
I was in Nashville. I'm done.
I can't stop. In Nashville, they had their used car ads are amazing because they all assume that you want to have a personal relationship with the shitbag who owns the used car business, right? Or the dealership or whatever. And one of them had the deep voice guy, like a deep voice guy like I haven't heard since Tim and Eric made fun of it. You know, the original, like, late 1980s, early 1990s guy where they would say, no money down. And in the background, somebody with this distorted voice would go, no money down. That's a big onion. Right? Like that like that kind of voice. So maybe we should just do the Text Fest like that. Text Fest, by the way, features, among other things, great food.
Bud Light Text Fest.
It features Roger Krieger in concert. The Roger Krieger.
There's a picture of him holding a Bud Light bottle, so you know he's legit. Because he's appearing in Blue Lot 18 at Reliant Stadium.
Blue Lot 18.
Blue Lot 18.
There's team
Wednesday, team. Wednesday, Wednesday.
There's team spirit walks. There's family activities.
Oh, wait. Monday, December 27th. What the hell was the Rodeo Bowl?
Well, I can help you with that because it was where the teams were taken to ride a mechanical bull. I got to say this about the Texas Bowl. They did this right. There's no bullshit. These teams were asked to come in. They went to a team bowling event, right? Because they're like, people love bowling. So they took them bowling, and then they took them to ride a mechanical bull, and they fed them. That's it. No promises. No grandeur. Just, yeah, we're the Texas Bowl. Here.
A lot like Houston.
Exactly. They're like, what? Here's some food. Here's bowling. There you go. So I do respect the lack of pretension here. The two teams participating in this bowl game, by the way, are Baylor and Illinois. Baylor is going to have like a zillion people there. They're going to have like they sold all their tickets while Illinois had to sell back 6,000.
There's this great ad on the front page of the Texas Bowl's website. It says less than 10,000 tickets remain for the game, and there's an exclamation point after it.
Yeah, so ticket sales surpassed 60,000.
Which is good, but maybe they could have gone with less than 10,000 tickets remain. Maybe they could have done away with that.
Right. Maybe they should have been, oh my God, 60,000 tickets barely remaining, just clinging to life. You need to get them before they fall from the tree, land on the ground unused, which is exactly what's going to happen with Illinois because Illinois doesn't. Illinois.
Time out. There's something important here. Have you ever noticed that the Texas Bowl's logo is shaped like a belt buckle that is itself shaped like a football with the state of Texas in it?
That's a really cool little. That's a cool.
Do you hear
little,
that sound? That's my mind blowing.
That's a cool little homunculus of meaning they've got going on there. I like that.
The Texas Bowl, a homunculus of meaning.
Mind bending metaphors at the Texas Bowl. Illinois, by the way, will give back the tickets, but it doesn't matter because the Big Ten are commies and they do this revenue sharing thing. But the quote that really amuses me, I like finding quotes with players because one of the great arguments for this entire thing is, you know, don't tell me these don't mean anything. The players really care about this. They don't. And here's more evidence of that. When asked about the Texas Bowl after playing in the Rose Bowl a couple of years ago, and remember, that happened. Anytime you're like, oh, life makes sense and there's a plan. Illinois made a Rose Bowl with Ron Zook.
And who did we see next year in the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook?
a guy, Illinois fans wearing like Rose Bowl participation shirts.
wearing the shirts commemorating them getting their entrails handed to them on a bed of roses by USC. It was amazing. They weren't embarrassed at all. We took pictures.
Yeah, they existed and they happened. This would be Eddie McGee first. If we hadn't pulled it out this year, it would have been really bad. It would have been terrible. For me personally, not going to a bowl game after the Rose Bowl really stunk. It's tough to go over it, but we do get to, and then he talks about riding a mechanical bull. I'm going to tame that monster. Eddie McGee, tamer of machines, master of robots. And then
and
the
kicker of elves.
And the other quote that amused me was senior linebacker Nate Bussey, when asked about whether they had were going to have a problem playing in front of that many Baylor fans. We've been around the globe. Hostility isn't something we're concerned about. Remember that
we've been to Purdue, son.
Remember that time they played in the Lhasa Bowl in Tibet? Remember that time they beat Dhaka Technical in the Bangladesh Bowl? That was amazing. Or the other time when they played the Kilimanjaro Bowl, which is on top of Kilimanjaro itself, and somehow, despite the altitude, managed to only lose by two due to Ron Zook going for an ill-advised two-point conversion in the first quarter. They've been around the globe, folks. They're not going to be threatened by Baylor fans and their bear claws. Which, that is, by the way, that's the worst Texas State hand signal, is the Baylor bear claw.
But they make up for it by having a live bear as a mascot named Lady. No, not a lot of people know this. I myself did not know this till this year, that I knew that Baylor had a live bear for a mascot, but its name is Lady.
Which, that's wonderful. That's like Ralphie.
I assume that the players all sing Lady to it after a win.
I think you just picked what we're going to come in to the podcast for. I wasn't quite sure. Either Lady, well, I'll probably go with Kenny Rogers. That's a little, you know, I got to keep it smooth. Lady by Styx, that's a little harsh for the ears, but... Oh, Lady by Kenny Rogers. There's some velvet there to it. Oh, this is, by the way, Baylor's first bowl appearance since 1994.
Dang.
Yeah, that was the Alamo Bowl, and they lost to Washington State 10-3.
Well, that's what happens when you go to the Alamo.
That's hey, I keep, by the way, this is how you know you're pretty much your cultural frame is stuck. I cannot get Pee Wee's Big Adventure out of my head. I cannot, you know, they're like, the basement at the Alamo, and then people are like, you're old, and you're like, yeah, completely old, but I'm still fascinated by that concept, especially if Jan Hooks is the one saying it to me. R.I.P. Jan Hooks. She's not actually dead. I just like saying that because she has...
Can I talk about Baylor now?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Okay, let's see, Baylor Bears, practically a home game, they're ranking 20th overall nationally in passing yardage, thanks largely to Robert Griffin III. Finally, this year, turning into the player that he was supposed to be, but for all those horrific injuries. This kid is a sophomore, has thrown for close to, needs just a 5-yard pass to crack 3,200 yards this year. But they ended the year on a weird 3-game skid, which I guess is understandable when you have 3 ranked teams back-to-back-to-back at the end of the year. And they were all understandable losses, but they lost 3 shootouts to Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma, which that's just a nasty piece of scheduling work. But, I mean, to whoever made that schedule's credit, nobody coming into this year thought that, you know, Oklahoma State was going to give them a game.
Right, and but to contrast, if we're going to look over at Illinois here, pretty much what you would imagine, inconsistent, maddeningly so, maybe better initially than people thought.
Better and better.
Yeah, and then a gradual like struggle to 500.
We're in agreement here. They're going to get plowed, right?
I'm kind of thinking they get plowed.
Okay, just
I really do. But you know, with Big Ten teams and bowl games, there's no telling how many different ways that they can just sort of eke in. Like, and I'm just saying this because Iowa last night, if you didn't watch it, Blaine Gabbert just handed the game to them. Just said, hey, that's really cool, you're trying to lose. Boom! Farved! Right? Like, just throwing it. An astonishing game. So maybe Illinois will benefit from the same kind of largesse, the same kind of indulgence on Baylor's part. I really hope not, because it would be really nice for Baylor to actually win a bowl game. Right? Like, to win a bowl game this century. That would be really...
If they made it a whole season without snapping their fragile blossom of a quarterback over their knee, it'd be nice to see him go out with something good.
It would be. But Illinois, by the way, they opened with a loss to Missouri. They ended up winning some directionals, right? Some Illinois directionals.
Oh, they beat Southern and Northern Illinois in back-to-back weeks. It's an agreeable symmetry.
That's true. That's true. Eastern true. Illinois sitting over there, fingers in the air, like, come on! Come at me, bro! They declined, though. They lose to Ohio State. They roll through the Big Ten. They have a nice little streak, and then
Can
they
we
just.
talk about the November 6th game?
Yeah, we can. The maybe the most like wildly entertaining formless game of the year, the
It was the 2009
67-65.
Outback Bowl of 2010.
It was the 67-65 loss to Michigan, which you just knew. Like the minute that got into overtime, you're like, man, Michigan's a bad football team, and there's no way Illinois is going to beat them. No way. So, and then they lose to Minnesota, which
After the firing of Tim Brewster, they lose to a headless Minnesota.
yeah, we've already determined that's not good. They did win the Wrigley Bowl 48-27, only running one way because LaMichael Shore cannot be stopped and had a huge game, ran for over,
The
200.
Northwestern not having their quarterback helped.
Yeah, that really helped as well since, he was injured the prior week. And then they end up losing their final game of the season because, I don't know, man, Ron Zook just likes traditions. Just likes dropping that last one. They lose to Fresno State. A really not good Fresno State team in the last game. So, coming into this game, yeah, Illinois made a bowl. But they made a bowl at 6-6. And really not a confidence-inspiring kind of moment for them as a team. So, I'm with you. I think Baylor's going to plow them. And I just said that. That feels so wrong.
Speaking of people getting plowed, Bob Greasy's in the booth for this, right?
Yeah, which means we are all about to get ear fucked.
We got a quality. It's such a shame. There's a quote. We got Dave Posch in there who we don't really care about one way or the other. But as Raycom Sports alums, we're big on announcers named Dave. There's Chris Spielman. There's Holly Rowe on the sideline, which is always pleasant. And then there's Bob just floating in the middle like the rancid dumpling in the pot.
There is. Bob just kind of sits there. Bob's a little lumpy. And I have to say, in the world of announcers, if you're just lumpy, that's okay. That's a net gain for me, actually, because I'm not overly irritated. Hopefully he'll say something.
Aggressively lumpy, though.
Right, hopefully he'll say something like sort of borderline racist, as he
I
did
mean,
with.
they're in Texas. That was my first thought, too. There's every chance he's going to see Robert Griffin throwing the football and just say something horrible.
Yeah, hopefully that would be the only thing he can really contribute to the broadcast. The other guys, Chris Spielman's wonderful.
I hate that he's slumming it with Bob Greasy, but it could be Bob Davie, so I guess he's getting off easy.
That's true. Yeah, I get very. I have a little like check mark that I keep with me, a little sort of whiteboard. Whenever Spielman, I just check it whenever Spielman gets to say "hunt dog, hunt," gets me so amped. But yeah, it's going to be. I think this actually could be a fairly entertaining game, especially because remember, Illinois is all about keeping it close. Keep it close. Just keep it close and then lose. So Baylor seems to be happy to do the same thing. This should actually be a pretty competitive game. In sum.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
Oh, you're thinking Baylor just runs away with this.
I think that Illinois has shown a lot of prowess at losing in shootouts that are not. I think Baylor has shown a lot of prowess in losing in shootouts this year. But what's Illinois going to put up to compete with their offensive production?
Yeah, if Baylor can shut down their run game, they got nothing. I mean, they have absolutely nothing. What if Nathan Schielhasa runs the zone read pretty well, I really don't think. I think the dual threat
I
of
mean,
Robert
Baylor's
Griffin.
lost 5 games this year, and they were all high-scoring monstrosities. And the only defense that held them under 30 was Oklahoma, which takes them to oh, Oklahoma State too. They scored 24 against Oklahoma, 28 against Oklahoma State, and above 30 in every other game.
Yeah, just remember the Illini, they're 115th in passing in the FBS. So if it comes down to Nathan Schielhasa having to pass, then they're gonna get killed, and then they will be then you'll be Texas Bowl champions, which as meager as that may sound for Baylor, it's like a national championship.